You're listening to Off the Hour. Today is June 26, 2009. For more than 5 years, our government, under both liberals and conservatives, has victimized one of its citizens and continues to negate his most basic citizenship rights. What happened is a disturbing case of rendition, torture, and denial of responsibility by one of the nations taking pride in its Charter of Rights. Regretfully, this is our country, the place many of us, immigrants of all origins, sought for freedom and respect of human dignity.
And our first interview in studio today will be with Professor Brian Aboud, who's taken the time to join us. Good day, Brian.
Good day.
How are you doing?
I'm doing quite well.
So we've heard a lot of reports across the country in recent months about the case of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik. There's been a dramatic development in recent days. Can you maybe give us a sense of what is exactly happening right now on this case?
Well, at the moment, as we speak, Mr. Abdulrazik and his lawyer are flying from abroad to Canada, expected to arrive in Toronto tomorrow somewhere around mid to late afternoon. He will subsequently be traveling to Canada, to Montreal rather. He will be escorted by his lawyers and a few other supporters and expected to arrive in Montreal somewhere in the early hours of Sunday morning. The intention is to have a support rally, or for him to be greeted when he arrives in Montreal by a number of his supporters who are in Montreal. The same is expected to happen in Toronto as well.
Brian Aboud, maybe we would share with our listeners how this story starts in 2003. Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik went to visit his ailing mother in Sudan. He is also a Muslim and a black man. Now, this should obviously make no difference, but unfortunately it did. Because of his faith, Abdulrazik became a suspect and he was not given a chance to defend himself. Worse, he was tortured to confess his alleged crime at the request and with the blessing of CSIS, whose agent traveled to Sudan to participate in his interrogation.
Abdulrazik has never been charged, let alone convicted, of any crime either in Canada or Sudan, nor has our government initiated proceedings to strip him of citizenship. Naturalized citizens who obtain their citizenship fraudulently or who have committed certain crimes can lose their status as Canadians.
Yet Ottawa has prevented Mr. Abdulrazik from returning to Canada and condemned him to live in isolation and poverty in Sudan.
In the name of the war on terror, our government has collaborated with foreign governments in the detention without charge and torture of Canadian citizens. What is irrefutable is that the Canadian government made sure Abdulrazik was unable to leave Sudan after his original imprisonment.
Soon after his first release in 2004, Mr. Abdulrazik's wife paid for an airline ticket to bring him back to Canada. But Air Canada and Lufthansa refused to issue Abdulrazik a ticket because he was placed on the UN no-fly list at the behest of Washington. At one point, the Sudanese government offered to repatriate Mr. Abdulrazik on a private plane, but the Canadian government aborted this project by refusing to pay the costs.
The question of cost is a transparent excuse. On repeated occasions since the summer of 2004, Canadian government planes have traveled to Sudan for official trips by Canadian representatives, including Liberal Prime Minister Paul Martin in 2004, Conservative Foreign Affairs Minister Maxime Bernier in 2008. But Ottawa has consistently refused to provide Canadian citizen Abdulrazik with an airplane seat.
This is in striking contrast to the treatment Ottawa accorded Brenda Martin, a Canadian woman who was jailed in Mexico for her reputed involvement in a scam. The Conservative government pressed for Ms. Martin to be repatriated to Canada, then dispatched a government chartered jet to bring her home.
in a decision that defies any logic. Ottawa allowed Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak to take refuge at the Canadian embassy in Khartoum. Ottawa, however, wouldn't renew his passport. Mr. Abdulrazak was stuck in the embassy complex, sleeping on a cot of an exercise room, remaining a virtual prisoner, not able to leave the embassy, not able to make or receive money. Occasionally, relatives would be allowed to visit him, whereas his immediate family, friends, and supporters in Canada lobbied relentlessly for his return.
Together in an act of civil disobedience, his friends, families, and loved ones bought him a plane ticket. This was in March 2009. No more excuses, but our government failed to issue the necessary travel document on time.
Ottawa stalls till the Supreme Court of Canada decided in favor of Mr. Abdulrazak's return. Then finally, the necessary papers were approved. Last week, his lawyer traveled to Khartoum to accompany him home. Mr. Abdulrazak is expected in Montreal tomorrow, Saturday, June 27th, late at night. A big victory for all activists who worked tirelessly for his return.
Brian Aboud, we are all celebrating and everything should be well now.
Yes, I think everyone is really, you know, quite gratified by the fact that Abu Sufyan will be returning to Canada. And yes, I think there's a kind of mood of celebration, both in Toronto and in Montreal, simply about the fact that after this rather long endeavor to see Abu Sufyan return to Canada, especially since March, when I think this effort really began to crystallize in an important way, I think people are feeling a sense of celebration, but at the same time also concerned, no doubt, about what its government has been responsible for doing to this Canadian citizen.
Are there any hurdles that you think Mr. Abdulrazak will encounter when he comes back?
There's so much about this case that I think was defied prediction and the expectations of people who would be somewhat cognizant of the way that government functions and so on. So, I mean, certainly I think people are proceeding with some measure of wariness about how things will unfold. But I think everyone is expecting that in the immediate term, things will unfold in a way that Mr. Abdulrazak's supporters would want, and in the way that Mr. Abu Sufyan would want. Now, of course, there's going to be a hearing in front of Justice Zinn of the federal court on the 7th of July, and that will be a defining moment at this stage of this particular case. We have to see how what transpires at the federal court and what it bodes for the subsequent stage in this case.
I think for a lot of people, just putting it out there to say that Abdulrazak, a Canadian citizen who was tortured in Sudan, there's clear evidence of that, was not allowed to return to the country or his home here in Montreal for months and months and months and months. Brian Aboud, how do you feel that this case exemplifies a mood or a certain treatment that Arabs and Muslims here in Canada experienced post 9/11? Was this case a particular one, or was it embellic of a larger political atmosphere?
Well, I think it's a case that has certainly a set of particularities and at the same time seems to fall within a horizon of actions that have been taken with respect to Muslims and Arabs and others who would be characterized by the state and by media and various institutions as being suspect for one reason or another, and suspect with respect to the so-called war on terror. I think that there's ways in which this is clearly continuous with a pattern of conduct on the part of the state beyond Canada as well, states throughout the world with respect to Muslims and Arabs. So I think this fits within a pattern of conduct. If we want to take Canada alone as an example, it's been recognized and highlighted by supporters of Abu Sufyan and people who analyze these kinds of things that the case of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak is not widely, dramatically dissimilar from what we've seen has happened to, for instance, Maher Arar, Adil Sharkawi, Muhammad Harkat, and other Muslims, Arabs, Muslims who have been subject to detention, imprisonment, mistreatment, profiling, and so on at the hands of the state and its agencies. So I would say there's a continuity there.
Brian Aboud, Mr. Abu Sufyan Abdulrazik didn't have any charge leveled against him, whether in Khartoum or in Canada. All what we know is that Washington thought that he was a suspect based on evidence extracted under duress of another prisoner. And still, when he comes back to Canada, he has to appear in court to do what? I mean, what are they leveling against him?
Well, in this case, he's going to be appearing on July 7th at the request of Justice Zinn, whose judgment, whose ruling earlier this month, that Abu Sufyan had to be returned to Canada and that the government should make every effort to facilitate his return, in as much as Justice Zinn determined that his charter rights had been violated. So, in fact, he's appearing in the federal court on the 7th at the request of Justice Zinn, whose judgment is really responsible or is crucial in us being able to receive Abu Sufyan in Canada at this moment.
I think that one interesting point on the case of Abdulrazik is we have the legal elements, but in tandem, there was a grassroots campaign across the country which collided with the reality of the conservative government refusing to repatriate Abdulrazik. Do you have any quick thought on the interesting role that grassroots community organizing work played in the fact that tomorrow night Abdulrazik, despite multiple statements from the highest levels of power in this country, will be returning to Montreal?
Well, I think it's been crucial. The role of people who have been willing to support him openly despite the risks that were alluded to earlier in the introductory point. Yes, I think that's been crucial. You're right that the ruling of Justice Zinn is significant, but I have to say that I think in conjunction with that, and perhaps it would never have gotten to that point without all of the efforts that have been made, certainly since March, and the beginnings, really the crystallization of a major appeal and a major endeavor to bring Mr. Abdulrazik home. But even prior to that, I think those efforts at the popular level have been hugely significant in us having arrived at this particular outcome. I think the ruling probably got us to this point much sooner than would otherwise have been the case, and certainly we can't diminish that. But I do share the view that the efforts of Canadians and people from abroad as well to show support on a matter of principle, and I mean, I think this is something also that one that has to be acknowledged, is that people have simply taken the view that on principle this is wrong, and that we cannot allow for the diminishment, the erosion of what is, okay, a charter right for a citizen, but also in a more fundamental way, a human right to return to your country.
Brian Aboud, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Today's program on Off the Hour is focused on the case of Abdulrazik Abu Sufyan, and it is taking place on a critical day, which is an internationally recognized day on victims of torture, as signified by the United Nations, by the group Esmarine. Do stay tuned, CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. You can find us online at www.ckut.ca.